Hi, friends. I'm Kara Kay.
And I'm Elizabeth. And this is the Asking for a Friend podcast.
Each week, we are navigating challenging questions you have about yourself, the church, and the world.
But don't worry, we know you're only asking for a friend.
Today, we're talking about health and wellness and answering the question, how can I live a better year? So join us as we break free from the status quo and engage in conversations that matter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our second episode of the new year. We are excited that you are here. Every episode, we kick off by talking about the little things in life that are making a big difference. So, Kara Kay, what is the little thing in your life this week?
My kids went back to school after
Christmas break. Oh, amen.
So, yes, I am all about routine. And when they're out of school, it's a challenge. And we actually went on a little mini vacation, which was nice and so good to just get away and not have to have them messing up my house.
Yeah, let them mess up someone else's house.
Exactly. So we went and stayed at my in-laws. They have a lake house, and so it was so fun just to get away and just let the kids play. But I love my routine, and so I'm happy to be home, happy to have them back in school and back to everything.
Yes, I'm with you. I feel like past a week of freedom, they just start acting like complete lunatics.
Yes, they do. Like, I almost wish the break fell before Christmas more.
Yes.
And, you know, because it's like Christmas happens and then they're like stir crazy and bouncing off the walls. And I just want them to go back to their stuff. So it's a challenge that couple weeks after Christmas.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, what about you?
So my little thing is today is my birthday.
Yay! Happy birthday.
So I'm really not that big into my birthday because the problem is it's just a couple weeks after Christmas. So come the second week of January, nobody wants to do anything. Everyone is broke because they just spent all their money. They're tired because they've already been to a bunch of holiday parties. And so my birthday has never been maybe a big a deal as I would normally make it because everyone's just tired and broke. So we usually, you know, do something low key. And this weekend we actually are going to a marriage conference. That will be fun for my birthday. And I think we're going to go see Just Mercy.
Yay. Me too. Yeah. I'm going to celebrate your birthday by going to see Just Mercy.
Okay, perfect.
All right. Well, happy birthday, Elizabeth. And we are going to take a quick break, hear from a sponsor, and then dive into today's conversation.
Do you have a desire to write but don't know where to start? Do you need people in your life who understand the ups and downs of that writer's life? Do you have an idea for a book but don't know how to take it from a great idea to a bestseller? If you answered yes, then we want to invite you to the next Collab Conference, April 22nd through the 24th in Waco, Texas. Collab Conference is an intimate gathering for Christian women writers. It's for women who long to build community with other like-minded writers. It's for women who want to gain clarity in the next steps of their writing journey. And it's for women who want to connect with writers, speakers, agents, and editors. This year, Collab Conference is meeting at the Serene Getaway Gathering Oaks Retreat. You'll hear from 8 dynamic speakers who will inspire and equip you to take your writing to the next level. And you'll gain friendships and connections that will last long after the conference ends. So don't wait. Space is limited and early bird registration is now open. Simply go to collab-conference.com and register today. Okay, everyone, we are back and we just want to let you know that we had a great time in 2019 engaging in conversations that matter, and we are looking forward to an even better 2020. Now, January is a great time to hit the reset button and make a fresh start. Some people attempt to create new, healthier habits by making those New Year's resolutions. Okay, Kara Kay, do you create New Year's resolutions?
No, I don't. Do you?
No way. It's just setting yourself up for failure.
Exactly. And I think this is really, like, it shows our personalities, but I do not like to fail. And so if I set a New Year's resolution for myself that I know that I'm probably not going to follow through on, then I feel like a big failure.
Yeah. I don't like the pressure.
Yes, it is a lot of pressure.
And plus, I feel like you and I, we're both pretty self-motivated. So I don't need, if I have a goal to reach, like I can make it on October 22nd or whenever. Like I don't need to do it come January 1st.
Yes. And that's always been my thing too. And my husband always says, why do people wait until January 1st to start something new? If you want to change your life or start something new, do it on August 22nd. Like who cares that it's January 1st? And And I always also feel like August is more of the start of my year.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like we're in such a routine with kids and school that I need to get through a whole school year, a whole summer, and then it feels like a new season kicks off. So January kind of feels meh to me.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I read an article that said 60% of Americans make New Year's resolutions, but only 8% keep them. So it just, it just proves
that's intense.
Yeah, they're just
we're all a bunch of failures.
Exactly.
Yeah, I am not the 8%. So,
okay. So what are some of the top New Year's resolutions that people made in 2019?
Okay. So we looked up a list and there was a top 10 New Year's resolutions for 2019. And you can probably assume what they are. And I'll run through them really quick. They were diet, exercise, weight loss.
Of course. Those would all make the top three.
And then saving more money, spending less money, learning something new, quit smoking, read more, find a new job, drink less, and then spend more time with family and friends.
I'm going to bet that that list for 2019 is the same in 2020.
I would assume so. Those are just pretty much the normal things that people want to be better at or do less of, you know? And so it's pretty normal.
Yeah.
Now, why do you think that New Year's resolutions fail so much?
You know, I think there are a lot of reasons. I think just like anything, we get real excited in the beginning. And then when it starts to get hard, we take the easy way out. I mean,
right.
We like to feel comfortable. We don't like to feel challenged. We don't like it when we feel like we can't accomplish something. And so we just go back to status quo.
And also, I think that isn't it that it takes 90 days to start a new habit? Is it 90 days?
You know, I've heard so many different things. I've heard seven weeks. I've heard 30 days.
Still, it takes a certain amount of time to actually implement a new habit. And I think that it's hard for new habits are hard.
Yeah.
And so whether they're like quitting something or starting something, it's still a challenge. And most people can't stick with something for 7 weeks or 90 days or whatever it may be. And so we end up just giving up because we can't do it.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of people, too, they go in it with good intentions, but they don't create a support system around them. So, you know, if your resolution is to read more, okay, how are you going to do that? Like, are you going to put 20 minutes aside in your calendar every day? Are you going to join a book club? You know, it's like they don't think it all the way through.
Yeah, that's true. So we found this article that said there was four main reasons that resolutions fail. And number one was unclear goals, exactly what you just said. They don't have clear goals set out for them of how to actually follow through.
Yeah.
Number two, you feel overwhelmed, which, I get that. Number three, you feel discouraged. And then number four, you're not actually ready for change.
Right, which that goes back to what we were saying. Like, why do you have to do it on January 1st? Couldn't you start it in February or November?
Yeah.
Because that might be when you're really ready and then you put it off until January 1st and then you're not ready anymore. You're not there.
Right.
So those are just a few of the reasons why I don't make New Year's resolutions. But in the past, I have done a word of the year. Do you do a word of the year?
I did for probably 5 or 6 years and then I kind of quit the last few years.
Yeah.
So I haven't. I'm one of those people. I just didn't follow through. I think I would like pick a word at the beginning of the year and then by like June, it wasn't even on my radar anymore. It was something, just wasn't even something I thought about. And so, yeah, what about you?
Yes, I have. I probably did it for about 4 years in a row and I did not do it last year. But I think I'm going to do it this year because there has just been something on my heart that I feel like I need to implement in my life. And I feel like putting it into a word of the year would be a good way to kind of keep it on the forefront of my mind.
Yeah. Do you want to share with us what your word is?
Yeah, but first, some people might be thinking, what are they even talking about, word of the year?
Oh, yeah, true.
So it's based on a book called One Word That Will Change Your Life by John Gordon. Yeah. And it's just, it's this theory that, you know, just choosing a word and sort of letting that seep into your mind and your heart and all that, it can really steer the direction of your choices in your life. Mm-hmm. So my word of the year is soul care.
Oh, okay.
Which you and I have talked a lot about, mm-hmm. Maybe not on the show, but we've talked about soul care versus self-care. And, you know, I'm not one to slow down. I'm not one to really sit and pause and reflect. And I feel like I need more of that.
Yeah.
So not really self-care where I'm, you know, chasing after manis and pedis and, you know, spa treatments and coffee. But and all those things are great. I love all those. But just something deeper as far as, you know, reflection and time with the Lord, time with myself, and leaning into some harder things.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
And I will share a little story about one word that I used one year, probably, let's see, 6-7 years ago. My word for the year was thrive. And it was a year that I had 3 babies under the age of 3. And it was the hardest year of my life, but I was determined I'm going to find a way to thrive in a hard season. Mm-hmm. And so it was interesting because that year was the year that I ended up starting a ministry called Thrive Moms.
That is incredible. I love
that. And so it was really cool that, and I ended up writing a book all about, you know, what it looks like to thrive in motherhood. So there have been, like, that was a really neat thing that came out of a word that I chose.
Yeah.
For a year.
That's awesome.
So maybe I need to choose me a word too.
Yeah, think about it.
I will.
A few years ago, I chose the word surrender. I felt like God was asking me to surrender just some bad habits, like staying up too late, you know, and just some things like that. And so I went into the year thinking, okay, I'm going to surrender these things and whatever. It'll be easy. It'll be great. And then that was actually the year we started fostering. And realized how much surrender and loss of control goes into that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it rocked my world. So same thing. I feel like God can really do big things through a small, simple word.
Right. For sure.
This is also the time of year when people, obviously, they do their goal setting, their word of the year, their New Year's resolutions. But they also start dreaming. And, you know, Jenny Allen, she has the dream guide that she puts on her website every year around this time to let people start dreaming and really envisioning what they want the next year to look like. And every year when I hear about the dream guide or, you know, just think about dreaming, I think of a quote that one of my friends, she put on social media one year. And she said, and I'm just paraphrasing, I'm not going to get this right, but she said something like, all these people talking about big goals and big dreams, I'm just living my small town life with my small time dreams, you know, marriage, kids, friends, church, community. Is there something wrong with me that I don't have big dreams? And when I read that, I just like took a deep breath and I thought, that is so courageous for her to admit that she just has small dreams. She just wants to do really well and make the most of where God has put her. Because I feel like we live in a culture that really puts a lot of pressure on us to live these big dreams and a big life. And if you're not doing something big, if you're not starting a nonprofit, if you're, you know, not traveling the world, if you're not writing a book, then your life is really small. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on dreams and big dreams and small dreams?
I love that you brought that up because this is something that I am really passionate about too. And it's funny because I wrote a social media post about this a couple months ago, probably. And because it was something that I was really thinking about, like, it's just shoved in our faces all the time, you know, all the time. Chase your dreams. And we always see the, like, quit your day job, become your own boss thing.
Yeah. Hustle
and do all these things. But I always think, what about the woman who wants nothing more than to be a stay-at-home mom and raise her kids? And what if that is her big dream? What is wrong with that? And, you know, what about the woman who loves her desk job and doesn't want to be her own boss? Like, she loves what she's doing. And, you know, what is that telling those people who are in that place? And so, yeah, that has always been a challenge for me, too. And I try to be really careful about telling women to chase their dreams and dream bigger, because it almost puts this guilt on them that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing because you are working for someone else, or you're staying home with kids, or you're happy where you are and you don't want to do anything different.
It also just devalues what they're doing. You know,
exactly.
It makes it seem like they're not as their goals and their dreams in their life is are not as worthwhile as people doing really big in front of the public things.
You know, going back to like being a stay-at-home mom, I stayed home with my kids when they were little, but I was always doing something else too, because I felt like being a stay-at-home mom was not good enough. It wasn't fulfilling enough. And, you know, so I just felt like, well, I have to have something else going on. I have to create a small business or do this thing or do that thing, because that's not enough. And so, yeah, that's such a challenge for people that, you know, I have some friends that don't work, that's, you know, have the privilege of staying home with their kids, and they just love to do that. And that's great. And so I love watching women who are just comfortable and happy in the place that you're in. So, you know, I would say, like, if you have big dreams, chase your big dreams, go for it. But if you're living your dream where you are, be proud of that and don't let people tell you otherwise. And don't take that, you know, the shame and that guilt on yourself, because that can be a big challenge when you're doing exactly what God has called you to do or placed you in.
I would hope everyone would feel confident in whatever their dream is, big or small.
For sure.
Well, I am a big dreamer. I don't know that there are big dreams, but I just have a lot of dreams all at the same time.
And yes.
I have to rein myself in. But I love goal setting and tracking and reflecting on, you know, accomplishments, things like that. So I actually have a little exercise for our listeners. If they are into this kind of thing. And I'm actually going to include a printable in the show notes that people can download and use for this. But basically what you're going to do is you're going to carve out some time. It might be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. I don't know. It might be a couple days for you, but you're going to sit down and you're going to reflect on 2019, and you're going to write down all of your wins. So whatever you consider successes, it can be a tangible success. It could be something relational, something spiritual, whatever you consider your wins for 2019. And then you're going to write down the lessons that you learned from each of these wins. Then you're going to write down all of your losses from 2019. So any disappointments, unmet expectations, maybe goals that you set that you did not meet, things like that. And then you're going to write down lessons you learned from each of your losses. Okay, so a lot of reflecting and writing. Then you're going to look to 2020. Okay, I want you to write down all of your goals and your dreams, whether they are big or small, whatever they are for you. I mean, it might just be my goal is to take a shower every day before the baby wakes up. I mean, that's a great
that's
goal.
That's huge.
Yeah, whatever your goals and dreams are for 2020, write them down. And then I want you to write down how you will achieve that goal. Because like you and I just talked about, a lot of the reason these New Year's resolutions fail is because people don't have a clear plan. They don't know how to accomplish the goal. They don't think it through. So I want you to write down how you will achieve that goal. And then finally, I want you to look over the lessons that you learned from 2019 and incorporate them into how you're going to achieve that goal. So does that all make sense?
Yeah, I love this. I'm going to do this because okay. I'm really bad about goal setting. So I'm going to try this out.
And if we write it down, it's much more likely to happen. And even if you're not really into the tangible goal setting, I think just reflecting on 2019 and some lessons that God has taught you is a worthy exercise.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a great way to step into a new season and set some goals. And I think the important thing to remember with setting goals is to remember what your end goal is. So what kind of life or goals are you trying to really cultivate? What do you want to do for yourself? Where do you want to see yourself by the end of 2020, by the end of 2025, you know, in 20 years? What do you want your life to look like? And so how can these goals help you walk, you know, into steps to get where you want to be? So figure those out and then create goals that will help you get to that point.
Yeah, that's really good advice. So figure out the end goal and then how you're going to get there. I think we do it in reverse. We start making all these decisions thinking we're going to end up at point H and we end up, you know, at point Z and we're like, wait, how did I get there? I meant to go left and suddenly I'm going right.
Have you begun setting your goals for 2020?
Can I say no, I haven't?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yes, I have not taken the time to do this, but I'm going to. It's going to be a part of my soul care. So I can report back to everyone.
Sounds good. So do you have goals that you always set for the year? Like, do you have ongoing things that you try to accomplish each year?
Well, I always have goals when it comes to writing. So maybe if it's a year I'm going to work on a book proposal or writing a book, then I'll have goals associated with that. If it's not, then it'll be something like, you know, goals for blogging or, you know, something I guess I would say in my professional life, although I use that term very loosely. And then I probably do make subconsciously make some mothering goals, but I feel like I'm constantly throughout the year making mothering goals, you know,
be more
patient. How am I going to do that? And, you know, things like that.
Yeah. I was told this week that I'm bossy by one of my children. And I just laughed because I was like, well, then I'm doing my job right.
Exactly. You're like, yeah, I am bossy. It's because I'm your
boss. I am bossy. That's what I'm supposed to do is tell you what to do.
Exactly. It's so funny.
So I guess one of my goals is to be more bossy.
I believe in you. I think you can do it.
Thanks. I do have, like, I have an ongoing goal that, because I read a lot of books, and so I started using Goodreads. Do you use Goodreads?
I feel like we've talked about it before.
But they let you set a reading goal for the year.
Yes.
And then you try to, you know, you can put, every time you've read a book, you put it on there. And so it's a great way to keep track of what you've read. And I went, like, 5 or 6 books over my goal for 2019, which was awesome.
Yeah,
and exciting. My husband went, like, I think he set a goal for 50 books and then he read like 115 or something.
Oh my word. I know what y'all are doing on date night.
He's an overachiever. But yeah, so, but it's a great way to like keep track of books if you're a reader. And that's one of my like main goals that I set for myself.
That you set.
To read more.
Okay, so we talked about setting goals like not necessarily January 1st. So in August, it was August or September, I made the goal that I'm going to start reading more because my kids were finally all in school. I mean, my youngest is pre-K, but still, he's in school more days than he used to be. And then I listened to Laura Tremaine's podcast, 10 Things to Tell You.
Yeah.
And she had an episode on how she finds time to read. And it was really helpful and it really helped me understand, like, okay, I don't have to sit down for an hour to read. Like, she reads 20 minutes with breakfast or 20 minutes in the carpool line, you know, so kind of sneaking it in throughout her day. And then she does carve out longer times to read. But when I listened to that podcast, it gave so many helpful hints. So I'm going to link to that in our show notes. It was really helpful to me to realize, okay, I do have the time now this season of life to start reading more. And so, I set that goal like August, September, and I've probably done about 3 books a month since then.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm super
proud of myself. Well, and audiobooks are the way to go.
Yes, absolutely.
Especially if you're super busy, because I will sometimes, if I'm really busy running a ton of errands or, you know, have a lot of work to do on my computer that I'm not, like, if I'm not writing or something, I can sit and turn on an audiobook. And there's days that I will listen to, and if it's a short book, I can listen to an entire book in one day.
Yeah.
If it's like 4 or 5 hours, and I turn the speed up to where it reads it faster, and it's great. And so I, like, today is Thursday that we're recording, and I'm on like the 3rd book that I've read this week.
Oh my goodness.
So, I mean, I just fly through them sometimes because if they're a short book and I can just listen to them really quick. But I think that's a great, and there's lots of great apps. I mean, I use Audible for sure, but there's Hoopla, that's a app through your local library. And there's a couple other apps that I've tried, but those are my 2 favorites. So there's definitely ways to get the reading in.
Yeah, you told me about Hoopla and shows what a small town I live in. It's not linked to my library or
which
something
is
in my
funny
town.
Because I live in a smaller town than you do.
I know.
And mine is. So that's really
but
strange.
Here's the
you
thing.
Should go talk to them and tell them to get on that.
Well, you know what? I called, we have 2 different libraries, and I called them and I said, hey, I want to listen to audiobooks, you know, on my phone. How do I do this? And they actually have their own apps that you download.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I just want to encourage anyone in your area, call your library and ask them if they have that service. Because Audible, you know, you only get like 1 or 2 a month.
Yeah, we have ours set at 3, but my husband and I share an account. But we always end up buying more. So we usually end up at like 6 a month, which
I know.
We spend more on books than anything.
I'm cheap. I like to buy tangible books. I don't like to buy audiobooks.
Yeah.
Okay. I love all that talk around books. We're going to be reading more this year in 2020, and we are going to offer you some great resources. So stay tuned for that. And as we close our discussion today, we want to tell everyone who is listening that we would love to hear what your goals and dreams are for 2020. So send us a DM and let us know. Now we're going to take a second to hear from our second sponsor.
We live in a noisy world, one that clamors and calls for our attention and lays on us demands and expectations we were never meant to carry. Now, somewhere along the way, we began to chase the urgent while missing out on what's most important. And we started to believe the lie that we hold all things together, when in fact, it's Jesus who does. As we start a new year, do you feel it in your soul, the call to a different way of living? This is why we think everyone needs a Faithful Life Planner. The Faithful Life Planner isn't your typical planner. The goal of this planner is faithfulness over success and purposeful living over simply staying busy. This planner will not help you run faster. It will help you slow down, listen, and linger to God and walk in the plans that He has for you. Get your Faithful Life Planner at faithfulmoms.org/planner. And use the code for a friend for 10% off your planner. We love ours, and we know you will too. All right, well, we always wrap up our episodes talking about resources that are helping us reframe our thinking. So, Elizabeth, is there anything that you are reading, watching, or listening to this week that has helped you rethink the way you look at the world?
Sure. So I just watched a movie on Netflix. It was called A Marriage Story. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but I've seen it.
You know, I have mixed feelings. It's really hard to watch. It's just about a married couple and kind of the journey they go through, just dealing with everyday stress and problems that we all deal with. And then you kind of watch the unraveling of their marriage. It's kind of tough to watch, but such a great real picture of what couples go through. I think if anyone is thinking about ending their marriage, this would actually be a good resource because it doesn't sugarcoat what the divorce process is like, what life is like after divorce. It really does a great job of portraying the challenges that come with marriage and divorce.
Right. I will say, I feel like Netflix has done a really good job of showing some things that are real life. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been so many movies and miniseries and things like that that are just so real and show us the real sides of what people go through, whether it's about race or marriage or parenting. But they've done a great job of really not just portraying this like picture perfect family.
I agree.
We see so often. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. So that's my resource for the week. What about you?
I will share a book that I haven't read it recently, but I read it back in the middle of 2019. It's called The Next Right Thing.
I have not read it.
Okay. It's funny. I almost didn't read it because I was like, this isn't for me. I don't need this. But I picked it up, like, I think it was over the summer that I got the audiobook version because I love audiobooks. And so I listened to it pretty quickly, but I was so encouraged by this book. And it just really, you know, helps you walk through the next right thing for you and really what that looks like. And I was in a season that I was like, well, there's nothing I'm going to change or nothing I need to start doing or stop doing. But it really shocked me after I read it that I was like, wow, I really needed that book. And really made some changes in the way I was doing some things. So I do highly recommend it, especially the start of a new year, to really examine, you know, the things that you're doing and how you're doing them and, you know, how you can do them in the best way.
Okay, I have avoided that book because I think I've told myself I don't have a problem making decisions and I don't know that it would be for me. So what would you say to someone like me who, you know, doesn't have a problem making decisions? Is it more than just making the next right decision or?
Yeah, for sure. And that's what I thought the same thing, because I was like, I don't have trouble making decisions. I don't struggle with that, with saying yes to things or saying no to things really. And the interesting thing is, like, I read it a couple months before we decided to start this podcast. And so it really stirred that in me of, this is something that I really am passionate about and would love to do. And so I think it's not just about like, how to make a decision, but it really makes you think about a lot of things and the things that you're currently doing, things that you want to do. And it's a lot of great storytelling. And so Emily's a great writer anyways. And
yes,
if you want to listen to the audiobook, like I could listen to her talk to me all day because she just has this really soothing, like calm voice where I'm like, yes. I feel like I'm yelling at you.
I know. I'm like, can you come talk to my kids, please?
Oh my gosh. Like she's just so peaceful. Uh-huh. And so I just felt like this weight off my shoulders listening to her talk, which she's just so great. But yeah, so I think it's definitely a book that everybody needs to check out.
Okay, I know we keep going on and on about this book, but I have another question for you. So okay. I don't like to listen to a lot of nonfiction. I like to listen to fiction or memoirs because I feel like with nonfiction, I like to underline and take notes. So was that a problem with this book? Were you wanting to underline things or was it fine?
I will say I actually had a hard copy of the book too, which I don't do very often. And I did go back and make some notes. But I'm not really a like highlighter in my book, right? Like I don't typically highlight and write in books.
Okay.
I will, like if there's a quote I really like or something, I have like a list of quotes in my phone, like in my notes app. And so I'll, when I'm listening to an audiobook, I'll pause it and I'll go write that specific quote down. Because if it's like highlighted in a book, I don't always think to go back to that book and find that specific thing.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I listen to a lot of nonfiction in audio. And
okay.
So that's just my personal preference.
Okay. I do write and highlight in books, but maybe I need to just get over it. Because you're right. Like I don't go back and reference them a lot. I think it's just, I don't know, the student in me.
If it's like a theology book or kind of more textbook type of thing that I do like to read those, then I definitely need like the book with a highlighter. We are
very interesting people. We're nerdy.
Yep.
Okay, so that wraps up our discussion for today. Thank you so much for joining us as we talked about goal setting and dreaming, and we answered the question, how can I live a better year? We hope this conversation helps you rethink the life you are cultivating. Now make sure to join us next week as we talk about our criminal justice system and answer the question, is our criminal justice system working? Now, side note, if you follow us on social media, you know that Kara Kay and I are both huge fans of the book Just Mercy. I mean, we just talked about it in this episode. So the movie, which is based on the book Just Mercy, is coming out tomorrow, January 10th. So we both plan to see it this weekend and we'll be talking about it next week. We highly encourage you to read the book, to listen to the audiobook, or even go see the movie before next week because we are going to have a really rich conversation on this topic.
Please don't forget to go leave us a review on iTunes. I know we hound you about this every week, but reviews really help people find the show and join us in these conversations. And also, we would love to connect with you on Facebook and Instagram. We are at The Asking Pod. Each week we post new questions and something that we are discussing on the podcast, and we always want your input. Also, you can connect with each of us on Instagram. I am at KaraK.James and Elizabeth is at ElizabethOates_.
And finally, keep asking questions for a friend.